Caffeine-powered radio. It's Taking the Lead with Ray Gustafson on News Talk 94.9 WSJM.
7:13 on Taking the Lead. Welcome to your Monday, August 19th, 2019. Glad you could join us this morning. Doug Cunningham, WSJM News Director, joining us this morning. Doug, Benton Harbor Area School's been in the news for several months now. I mean, kind of bring us up to date on, I mean, it goes back to the governor originally saying you need to shape up or ship out, really, if you think about it. So let me get you turned on there. There we go. So
yeah, Benton Harbor schools have been struggling with finances first and foremost. They've got a debt and of millions of dollars. And there's been a proposal from the governor's office, which included potentially closing Benton Harbor High School in order to somehow at least alleviate some of the debt, to forgive some of the debt. Well, on Friday, some state officials met again with the Benton Harbor area schools and members of the community, and they decided to proceed with a different plan, and this plan will maintain a viable K-12 education system for Benton Harbor families going into the future. And at this meeting, State Treasurer Rachel Eubanks and Deputy State Treasurer Joyce Parker, WSJM reporter Andrew Green has been on this story and reported this story for us. And now I'd like to share with you some of the audio of these state officials, Joyce Parker, Deputy Treasurer, and first up State Treasurer Rachel Eubanks, talking about the Benton Harbor Area Board of Education, Benton Harbor Schools, and the current plan.
All right, so talk to us kind of about the biggest takeaway from this meeting tonight.
Yeah, I think the community was interested in hearing about if it was we're going to have a community approach, if they were going to have input into the process, be able to have feedback into whatever the outcome is going to be. I think they were pretty receptive about that, which I was glad to hear. So I really look forward to working with them. I think it was generally, you know, positive reaction to that process.
Mm-hmm. Why did you guys, or how did you guys come up with this idea of the community approach to begin with?
Okay, so do you want me to take this off? Because this is really...
Okay. Well, actually, we've had some discussion at Treasury related to being proactive. And as part of being proactive, community engagement is really important. The advisory committee concept is one that has worked well in other communities, and we think it will work well for the Benton Harbor schools.
If there's no consent agreement and there's no $11 million on the table, why does the state need to be involved at all? Why can't they do their own advisory committee?
Well, I think a big part of what we're proposing is a proactive approach where we get community input and build from that a comprehensive plan that addresses issues with the Benton Harbor schools, which may be an issue related to the $11 million being resolved as part of the operating plan that's developed for the district. So I think if it's comprehensive, we can deal with the financial issues as well as operational issues.
Mm-hmm. And, I mean, you know, the district still needs resources to be able to implement any plan. I mean, earlier in the week, they held a board meeting to decide whether they're going to undertake a superintendent search. That superintendent search is actually being funded at the state level. This strategic plan is something that my staff will be participating in, so they have the assistance of the state, in addition to whatever resources that Deputy Treasurer Parker talked about in her comments earlier. So I think we're coming to the table with resources.
Mm-hmm. So you're hoping kind of for a six-month timeline here? You said kind of 6 months to put a plan together?
Mm-hmm. We think 6 months is the right amount of time to both have the sense of urgency that we believe this district needs, but it balances that with the need for stakeholder input, transparency, and the ability to have a good operating plan that is detailed to be implementable for future financial sustainability.
Well, I agree again with the treasurer. 6 months is a reasonable time frame. So first of all, the assessment will be conducted. And once the assessment is done, then we can actually report out to the community, get feedback related to the assessment. Once we get that resolved, then we move forward with the operating plan. So I think the 6 months is a reasonable time frame.
How often do you guys plan on coming down to meet with the board and with the community stakeholders?
Well, it's going to be frequently. There are going to be times when we will need to get their input related to information we receive through the community. As we talk about the assessment, we'll have an opportunity to meet with the board to discuss the assessment, get their feedback in that regard. So I think it's going to be on a frequent basis.
Something that was mentioned is that it said K through 12 is the actual goal, but Mayor Muhammad mentioned it in State Public. Is it safe to say that shutdown of either part of the school district is off the table completely?
That is not something that we're talking about at this point. What we would like to do is to do the assessment and the plan, and that then hopefully will be the blueprint moving forward. Our goal is to maintain everything in place, but I think we have to go through the process in order to get that really clarified.
Mm-hmm. This has been mentioned a couple times, but I just want to clarify. The first step, once this advisory committee, if it's approved by the board, would be to look at the district as it stands and figure out how it got to where it was and then have a string board from there, correct?
That's part of the assessment, really going back, looking at various issues. I think some of the community members had mentioned reports and other information. So we're going to reach out and really dig deep to understand what the causes are. And once we understand the causes, we can identify solutions.
And I would just add to that, I think I heard from the community multiple times that they did not feel that they had an understanding of the current status of the district. And they wanted to understand that, get their arms around it, have that presented to them in a transparent and factual manner so that as they're thinking about the decisions they're making for themselves and their families, that it takes into account, you know, those realities.
Who will be doing the assessment?
Mm-hmm. Well, the assessment will be conducted by the advisory committee. I will be a part of the advisory committee. We should have at least one consultant working with us. We may have other people assisting us with the assessment. So it's going to be a number of individuals, but the actual process will be handled by the advisory committee.
And also my other question, there's been a lot of rumors that a Payless Pay Day is going to possibly come much sooner than previously predicted. If during this process there is a Payless Pay Day, what happens?
Well, part of what we discussed is if there's a need for some type of interim support. The state will be open to doing that, but just based on the numbers that we've seen, we believe the district will be fine.
Okay.
And for how long?
At least a year.
Okay.
Yeah. Through the school year.
What do you need from the school board right now? What sort of resolution do you need them to approve?
Yeah, we're asking them to say that they're supportive of this blueprint, this process that we put forward for the community approach. They would be at the table, of course, as part of that, but ultimately, this is something that they're going to have to implement. So making sure that we have that support and, you know, that partnership on the front end is critical.
I agree. I think what we really need is the commitment to move forward and to stay the course, because it's going to be important for the district.
Who is holding this advisory committee accountable, and what happens if they don't get everything done in the time frame that they're supposed to? Are there any penalties or...
Well, I don't know about penalties, but I think what you will find is that the members of that advisory committee will be committed and will stay with the time frame. If there's a concern or a problem, we'll be reporting back to the treasurer as well as to the board.
And I know you said that you've done this process before. Was that in Michigan or in a different state?
Actually, I've worked in Michigan throughout my entire career, almost with the exception of maybe 4 or 5 years. And in several communities where I've worked in Saginaw, I've worked in Flint at different times, Allen Park, Ecorse, worked in Jackson. And in at least 2 or 3 of those communities, I've worked with advisory committees, and they have all been very committed to the process. Their recommendations have been implemented, so I believe we should be able to get the same type of support here in Benton Harbor.
What type of benchmarks are you guys hoping to set and goals to hit?
Well, one of the things that we would like to see is this process actually being a model for other districts throughout the state of Michigan.
Mm-hmm. And, I think we want to see, for the sake of this community, an improvement in the overall situation that the district finds itself in. So while things will be gradual and take time, I would imagine, you know, as we move forward, those benchmarks will be moving in that direction.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You guys kept talking about how you don't want the committee to become too big, that it's like unwieldy and can't get stuff done. Is there a number of people that you have in mind, or a range of what the ideal number of people on this committee should be?
Well, we do not have a number, but I believe based on the comments made tonight, it's not a problem to add 2 or 3 other members. to the committee.
Add two or three to how many?
Right now we have, I believe, 7 that's being proposed.
So it would grow to be about 10?
10, maybe 11.
Okay.
Is the governor fully aware and on board with the plan here?
So the governor referred the proposal over to us for us to, you know, work with the community and come up with a solution. So absolutely. Other questions? Okay.
So to be clear, they have questions. I'd be happy to answer them. But
yeah.
To be clear, the school board the high school is staying open this year. Oh, no problem.
So we've touched on a couple times. Whatever comes out of the advisory committee has to be something that works for the community, is implementable, and keeps the district on the path to financial sustainability. I'm not going to predispose what that looks like, but that's why the community approach is important, so that, you know, they can understand those type of decisions.
Mm-hmm. And I think the other key point is that the high school will be open this school year.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll have the study completed by the end of this school year.
But the high school is guaranteed to stay open.
Well, I think the district has the resources to operate the high school.
So you're hoping this plan works so that the high school's not shut down?
That's correct.
Basically.
Mm-hmm. When we have when will the state finish the audit on the finances?
You know, an audit is a strong word, okay? So that it's, you know, if you have an auditor
responsible for bringing them to this point.
So that, whatever that process, a forensic audit is usually a lengthy process. That could happen in dual track, but I think the advisory committee, because we do want certainty for the community going forward, has that 6-month time frame. So whatever we will know by then will be reported on, and whatever needs to be ongoing because of the detailed information will continue to be ongoing.
Last questions?
So you are going to do a forensic audit. That's a...
Forensic audit is a...
It's
a really strong term.
That's what people keep saying.
Yeah.
Is something going to be done like that?
So I think there's an examination of how the district ended up in the position that it's in, and that will be absolutely part of that initial assessment.
Okay, exactly.
And the presentation of where we stand today. Yeah. A forensic audit is a very specific and detailed term. If you're a finance person, you don't take that term lightly.
Okay.
Thank you.
What you were hearing there were State Treasurer Rachel Eubanks and Deputy State Treasurer Joyce Parker talking to reporters about the Benton Harbor area schools and about the latest recommendation to fix them. What the state now needs from the local Board of Education, what's next here, is a resolution of support to move forward with the advisory committee model. And Ray, I just want to point out something very quickly. 2,782 students in the Benton Harbor School District, 2,782 mm-hmm. are attending schools outside of the district. Because of that, school officials say that and that alone has cost Benton Harbor Schools $22 million.
Wow.
So the district gets around $8,000 per student from the state in its annual budget. Absent that, if that $22 million were still in the Benton Harbor Schools, if those students were still in the Benton Harbor Schools, that $22 million is larger than the entire $18.4 million debt
that they have
that
right
they
now.
Have right yeah. now that they're struggling yeah. with, right?
Yeah.
So that's what's next. We're going to have to see what the state does. The local Board of Education next will have to pass a resolution of support to move forward with this. We've been covering this in detail and in depth, and that was a rather long piece of audio, but we thought it was important for the community to hear that. Those were reporters talking with State Treasurer Rachel Eubanks and Deputy State Treasurer Joyce Parker, who were here in Benton Harbor on Friday meeting with the school board and with the community in a public meeting.
Now, Benton Harbor Schools Trustee Patricia Rush spoke out asking a week ago that they needed to investigate basically where the money went. What were some of her thoughts on this proposal
from
Friday?
She said she had worked in many situations with multimillion-dollar companies, and she's a little troubled about how the finances are handled, and she wanted what's called a forensic audit.
Right.
You may have heard
them
talk about toward the end of this. That means basically an investigative audit to really dig into the finances and figure out how they got into the financial pickle that they're in now with this $18.4 million debt. So all things will be considered, whether the money was handled appropriately, responsibly, but also this $22 million that was lost to the Benton Harbor Schools because so many kids went to schools outside the district, some to charter schools, and that cost big time in terms of money to the Benton Harbor District.
All right. We'll be following this very closely, I guess.
As always, our news team will be on it. It's very important what happens there, and we're going to continue to follow every twist and turn in that story for you.